from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hour number three. What up? Take in Tierney company from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing cost online in real time? Rocket can. What's going on? Third hour of the show here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hope everybody is well. CBS Sports Network, simulcast, of course, on the tube every single day. Radio.com, Apple iTunes podcast, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. IG, go check it out. Throw us a follow. We'll start to give that some more attention. We really weren't very active on Instagram at all. Tiki and I are very active on our own personal accounts. You can certainly follow us there as well. But in terms of a show account, we were much more social media driven with Twitter and Facebook, but more effort with Instagram. Check it out. Obviously, Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. All right, Caleb Pendleton. I'm looking forward to having this conversation. you might recognize the name from over the weekend. If you don't recognize the name, you might recognize the exploits as you were just kind of scrolling through social media. Here's a young man we have next segment. He's a freshman catcher at Florida Atlantic, the Owls. Good program. And he went yard his first at bat as a collegiate, went yard his second at bat as a collegiate. So the thing was, they were both grannies. Two at bats, eight RBIs, and he was all the rage, rightfully so.
One inning, too, BT.
In one inning, exactly, Teague. Thank you. I meant to say that. In one inning, exactly. All the rage over the weekend. So we'll chat with the young man. I'm sure he's been floating around campus last couple of days. He's going to join us coming up next segment. All right, so the Steelers, I guess it's official now because – Once Art Rooney II weighed in, as he did earlier, about Big Ben, well, now you know what's going to happen. Here's what he said, that he's going to come back. Mr. Rooney said, Ben Roethlisberger and I met yesterday morning. We had a productive meeting. We were able to discuss a lot of things that related to where we are, where we want to go. Ben assured me that he's committed to coming back to help us win, and I told Ben that we would like to have him back and help us win a championship. We both understand, if I could get down there, there we go, that the next step is to work out Ben's contract situation. That is the money quote.
Yeah, which we talked, I mean, I talked about this yesterday, BT, at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. You bounced to St. John's, and, you know,
I should have stayed with you guys.
Talk about bubble teams that maybe are busted.
No, maybe. St. John's has to win the Big East tournament at this point, basically. But keep going.
But my point, the point I made yesterday was, I get that the Steelers are weighing all their options, because right now, BT, and as I look at this on over the cap, they're $19 million over the cap already. Mm-hmm. the season hasn't even started. The league year hasn't even started. So there's going to be a lot of cap casualties. And maybe Ben Roethlisberger, because he has a huge number at $41 million, can alleviate that a little bit. But in order to do so, he's either going to take a pay cut or get an extension, and then, just like Drew Brees did right off the back end of those years, which, by the way, he said he wanted to do. Right after the season, he said, I want to play. You know, I want to be here. I understand that my cap number is ridiculously large, but I'm willing to work with it. The Steelers were ghosting him. They said nothing about this until yesterday, when it seems like now they're on the same page of making it work out. I think it's important, BT, to listen to one of our good friends here, Ike Taylor, his stance on Big Ben and what Big Ben should do because of what he is doing currently to the Steelers. This is interesting.
I think Seven should shut it down. And the reason why I think Seven should shut it down, he's done everything he possibly can.
I think 7 and done. Whatever you asking for a quarterback to do, as many as opportunities to win Super Bowls, I think 7 did everything he could. So I think if 7 wants to come back, you setting him back a year or two or three. I think, and the reason why I think you setting him back is because you've seen the progression in Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow before he got hurt, and Baker Mayfield. So we're talking about three young quarterbacks in one division. Who are you going to pick last?
The Bengals last.
Exactly.
Joe Burrow's not going to be there week one, and even if he is, they're not better than the Steelers yet.
That's Ike Taylor, who that was on TMZVT.
I love Ike, but
I do too.
I don't know if I'm feeling that whole thing.
I think he's talking, and I said this yesterday, and I'll reiterate it. I think he's talking like a fantasy quarterback type of situation. Because if you look at, you know, Joe Burrow, the amazing rookie year he had, could you say he's, you know, above Ben? Maybe. Same thing with Lamar Jackson, who won the MVP, or Baker Mayfield, who beat them in the first round of the playoffs last year. Like, you could say all those guys are above Ben in a sense, but when you talk about winning and a guy who's been there and experience and the value of that, Big Ben to me is still sitting the top of that division. He's still the guy that I would want in a one game, opportunity to win a game. It would be Ben right now, despite the fact that he's had some injuries and everything that went on with him a couple years ago. This is really his first year back after major elbow surgery, and he actually acquitted himself pretty well.
I guess he acquitted himself pretty well. He's so slow. He's just so
He's 2021. You know,
yeah, and I'm okay with that, because even in 2015 he wouldn't be 2020. You know, he was always a big burly guy who can bang off defenders, but. You know, listen, if you're a parent with young kids, trust us, I can speak for Teak on this one, it will behoove you to open a college fund. 529, whatever you want. You can't do it until the child's born, I don't believe, because you need the Social Security number.
Yep.
But you have to do it. And you'd be stunned at what incrementally adds up over time as you forget about it. Why am I even saying that? Well, just like every child needs a college fund, every team needs a quarterback plan when your star is done.
Yeah.
And the Steelers have been bereft of any plan that looks even remotely attractive to move on from Ben.
Dwayne Haskins is on the roster.
All right. I mean, that. And by the way, that's not a bad move. Kick the tires, see what he's got. Dwayne Haskins is not going to win you anything next year. Dwayne Haskins has a long, long way to go, if he even gets there.
He needs a QB rehab. He needs a major QB rehab. And
he
by
needs
the way,
QB rehab.
Don't sell Big Ben short. He had 25 carries last year, BT.
How many yards?
11.
Yeah, Big Ben. Here's the thing, though. Like, you look at, and we really, the only time we reference age on this show is to marvel.
Yeah.
Like at Brady and Breeze and some of the other players that have done it, right?
Yep. Aaron Rodgers at 37 winning an MVP.
Mm-hmm. Rodgers 37, no doubt. We throw that in there as well. And the only reason I do it with Ben in a negative is this way. Because while Brady gets it done due to precision and a Jedi sense that nobody else seems to have quarterback-wise, Big Ben did it off script due to his sheer strength and the ability to have just enough wiggle to make the crazy play.
Yeah.
And that wiggle's gone.
Yeah, that little subtle, I can get out of your way.
Yes.
Just a little bit, I'm going to hold on to it. Yeah. You're going to hit me, and I'm going to hold on to the rock, and someone's going to get open downfield, and I still have a cannon.
That wiggle.
Yeah.
We've seen it. The cannon's no longer a cannon, and the wiggle's no longer evident. So, I'm not getting on the air trying to grease the skids saying Ben should retire. If I thought he was totally done, I would. I don't think he's totally done.
Mm-hmm.
But the Steelers won't win anything with him. Mm-hmm. It's over. They're not going to win a championship with him.
But think about this.
He's not good enough to win a Super Bowl.
But think about this. So, we know that 2019, he only played two games. I forget what it was that he played before he got hurt. He only played two games in 2019. He got hurt. And then 2020, he played 15 games. He obviously sat out week 17 of the regular season. And in that time, they've acquired a bunch of talent. Juju Smith-Schuster has already been there, but Deontay Johnson,
who, by the way, might be gone.
Exactly, but forget him. It doesn't matter.
But he might be gone.
I agree.
He's
but
one
not,
of the best
but,
players.
But it doesn't matter because he's replaced very quickly by some of these young players.
Oh, that's true.
Including Chase Claypool, who had a fantastic season with almost 900 yards or so. Deontay Johnson, James Washington. Like, there's good players on this squad that Big Ben hasn't had a chance to – you know, grow with and play with and get the feel of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're the Steelers and you have one of the top defenses in football, your top five defense, I think top three defense in the NFL last year, you're ready to win, right? As long as you have a quarterback who's not going to screw it up. And so if you're I don't know how you can, you know, in with championship on mind, look at the Steelers and say, yeah, we're going to find the Tom Brady, whoever that may be, and he's going to be our difference maker. Bring him in, replace Big Ben. We have a great defense. We have some good pieces offensively, and we're going to go win. It's not going to happen, right? What happened to the Buccaneers was once in a millennium thing, right? So I think they have to stick with Big Ben because he gives them the best option to win a championship next year.
They're not winning a championship. They're not coming close to a championship. Let me ask you a question. Let's not forget, conveniently, they couldn't get a first down when they needed a yard. Their running game was pathetic.
Yes,
their offensive line was
garbage.
They're $19 million the
old.
Wrong direction of the cap. You gave us that number, right?
Yes, but okay. Think of Big Ben is $41 million.
No, I understand that.
So restructure him.
Relief back. I know.
No, you can easily. You can save. I mean, you could save $30 million just by restructuring his deal. And
okay,
all of
so
sudden,
you get to plus $10 million. Let's just say that actually happens. That you get the plus $30 million.
Yep.
But by the way, you got to draft guys. But still, even so, let's say that they net plus $30 million. And instead of being minus 19, they're plus 9 or plus 10, roughly, plus 11, right in that neighborhood, right?
Yep.
With plus 11, how are you going to fix that running attack, which is impotent, and that offensive line, which stinks?
Yeah, you got
to win a championship. Well, you're not.
Well, you got to replace the center. So maybe you
Pouncey
draft.
Retired.
He was a Pro Bowler last year.
Okay.
Good
centers don't hit the free agent market that often.
No, they don't.
Kevin Mawai, that's rare.
Villanueva, he's 32.
Yep.
He had an okay season.
Yeah, he's good, but he's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Okorafor is 23. He's young.
Mm-hmm.
So DeCastro,
but do we know that he's the right guy?
I don't know.
I'd be lying if I'm not going to break down his PFF. I have no idea.
I
could
go
good?
Look. I haven't even looked at it.
I just know they couldn't get a yard, and I'm sure they couldn't get a yard when they ran behind him.
True.
It doesn't matter where they ran. They couldn't get a yard.
DeCastro is their guard is a Pro Bowler as well. He's
love
30,
him. He's a stud.
Right? So, I think they're not far away. That's my point.
Not far away. They were the worst running offense in football.
Yeah, they were. And I think part of that might be on their
miles away.
The guys who they're turning around and handing the ball off to as well, but I mean,
Benny Snell.
I don't think they're miles away. I really don't. I think they're closer than you would think, than you would assume, given some of the faults in the latter half of the season. Let's not forget there was a ton of injuries on the defensive side.
Well, that's where I was going to go.
Right?
Keep going.
And so that made it really tough to be anything less than perfect on the offensive side. James Conner, he's a free agent. He's not going to be back.
He's gone.
So they need, if they can get an upgrade at running back, I mean.
Can he get Aaron Jones?
I think
do you have the money to get Aaron Jones?
Too expensive, I think. I mean.
That's their problem.
Yeah.
What do they do?
I don't know. Because you need to draft, on the offensive line, right?
Yeah.
And you need to draft a running back. So you probably go O-line first because there's a bunch of them, and they're likely to fall because of all the receivers and other, you know, skill position players that are high, including quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So you might be able to get a good offensive lineman, whether center or guard, late in the first round, and then you got to draft one of these available running backs, whoever it may be, who's bruiserish in the second round.
Okay.
And you know, it's not going to fix the problem, but it's going to help a lot. I don't think they're far away. I really don't.
Wow.
And if you can fix that, then Big Ben's your guy.
That's a lot to fix.
It is
with no money.
But every team has to do this. Well, you can earn.
Chiefs don't have to do it.
You can earn a lot of space.
Bucks don't have to do it. Bills don't have to do it.
The Bucks just got to hold on to their guys.
Well, but at least they have the option of doing it if they want to, which they will.
Yeah, true.
The Niners just have to get their guys back healthy. They don't have to completely change everything like the good teams. Let me put it this way, Teague. the teams that are on my short list, and I know it's going to be a wacky offseason, so that this list could change theoretically, but the teams right now on my short list to get to the Super Bowl next year are not staring at all these questions with a dearth of funds to address them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big problem.
But is Big Ben
is still really good?
Is he
and
more,
I don't think he is.
Is he more of a problem or more of a solution? How do you see him? More of a problem or
it's a
solution?
Great question. To be fair, he's more of a solution.
Me too.
I'm not going to just
and nobody else you're going to go get is going to be as good of a solution as Big Ben. So figure it out, Steelers. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Be interesting. See, with Pouncey retiring.
I know. It's a huge one.
It's a center.
Yeah, but a big part of his defaults in the postseason were him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I know. I meant to ask you before. So, Bud Dupree and Devin Bush.
Yeah.
Now, Dupree's a free agent.
Yeah.
Is he restricted?
No, because he was franchise BT last year.
I'm almost positive. Unrestricted, and my point is, if both are back, will they both be back healthy for week one?
Bush, I think yes, because he was hurt. So
he got
early.
Hurt early. Yeah. Dupree was after about 5 weeks after.
PT, I don't think they're gonna hold on to Dupree. I really don't.
I think you're probably right.
I think they're gonna. He only played 5 games, Devin Bush, so he missed the last.
Okay, but now you have to replace Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
Who's good?
I know.
So it's not just a running game.
That's true.
I think you're right, because there's been teams connected to Bud Dupree with a lot of money.
I mean, they still have good defensive linemen. I mean, T.J. Watt is a stud.
Yeah. No, I know. Stud. Minka Fitzpatrick, stud.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying they don't have any players, but, you know, I'm going to leave it at yes. He is more of an asset. For sure, than a detriment.
And that's all that matters. Get it done. Let him retire, or at least have one more go at it.
Okay, you sold it well. Are you picking the Steelers to get to the Super Bowl next year?
Out of the AFC? Probably not. Okay. Maybe the championship.
All right, we'll see. All right. Hey, Caleb Pendleton. What a start to his college career. First at bat, going yard, bases, juice, granny. Second at bat, same inning, bases, juice, granny. 12 minutes, 2 at-bats, 2 home runs, 8 ribbies, an OPS of whatever it equates. I don't even know what it is. 2,000, whatever. We're going to chat with him next. The young catcher, the freshman sensation for Florida Atlantic. Had a great weekend. We'll have a little fun with the young man coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I've been looking forward to this conversation. Getting a chance to chat with a young man doing basically what I could never do. I'm sitting in my office on Sunday morning, and I'm just scrolling, having a cup of coffee, and I'm seeing from all sorts of outlets, Caleb Pendleton. Who is Caleb Pendleton? Is this a name that I should know that I don't know? Then I start clicking on the videos. I see a couple of home runs, and I do a little – he's a freshman. Then I do more digging. Caleb Pendleton, his first 2 at-bats in college, in the same inning, went yard twice – for Florida Atlantic, the Owls, good team, 3-1, by the way. Just took 2 out of 3 from UCF, who's a ranked team. The Owls have a very good program. And within 12 minutes or so, this young man blasted onto everybody's radar. And he's with us now. He's a freshman. He's a catcher. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Caleb, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm not as good as you, man. That goes without saying. Now, first of all, I mean, I can't even imagine what you're thinking when you're jogging around the bases after your first bomb. A granny, your first collegiate at bat, the second time. What in the world were you thinking during that entire, 10, 12, 13-minute run?
Yeah, so the first home run, I was super pumped. I was really excited. And then the second one, running around in almost disbelief, kind of not really knowing exactly what just happened and what I did. Everybody asked me what my teammates said to me after I came across home plate. And I honestly don't remember what anybody said to me because I was kind of – so in shock that I just hit 2 grand slams. So it was pretty crazy.
Do you know what the pitch was? I mean, because I couldn't tell from the vantage point. They looked like fastballs, but I couldn't quite tell. What were they?
The first pitch was a curveball, a hanging curveball that I hit out, and then the second pitch was a fastball.
Okay.
Yeah, so he knew he couldn't tell you the same thing, or the staff didn't know they couldn't tell you the same thing. You know, as you were walking up there the second time, forget the first time, because the first time you're nervous, you're like, God, I'm first time, and you go yard. The second time, what's in your mind? Are you now saying, because you're obviously destroying them. You come around, the bases are loaded again in the same inning. We know what that's all about. You know, what's your, how aggressive could you have been? And, you know, were you just calm, easy, or were you just like, we got these guys?
Yeah, so after Steve Loden, who was in front of me, got hit by a pitch and the bases were loaded, I was kind of thinking, dang, I got another chance to hit a grand slam right here. And I kind of had to flush that thought as fast as I could because I didn't want to go up there trying to do too much. So I flushed that thought and was just trying to put a ball in play, hit a single, and pass the torch to the next guy. And I never really wanted to go up there and hit a home run, but I ended up doing it, and it felt pretty good.
Well, we all know when you try, you don't hit home runs. You pop out or you strike out, that's for sure. When you don't try and you just try to take it through the middle and make good contact, that's when you send them in the seat. So, you know, I was doing some research on you, and you're a freshman, as I said, talking to Caleb Pendleton for the Florida Atlantic Owls, catcher, freshman, really amazing start to his collegiate. You can't start better. I mean, literally, you can't start better. You were the top five, I believe the third-rated catcher in the state of Florida coming out of high school. We all know how great Florida high school ball is. Now, I'm curious, because there were only five rounds in the Major League draft, as we know with COVID. They condensed it. Would you have gotten drafted? Like, would that have been a serious consideration? Were you thinking about that?
Yeah, so I was talking to a lot of teams in the beginning of my high school career and the summer before. I was talking to a lot of pro teams, and I had a good chance. If the draft was normal, I had a good chance of getting drafted, but I think it all worked out very well for me. I think that going to FAU was a really good choice for me. Being able to develop these next 3 years as a player and as a person was probably the best opportunity that I had. So I don't regret anything. I'm not upset about anything. So I'm glad where I'm at right now.
Nor should you be. Were your parents or family, were they at the game when you went yard?
Yeah, my dad was at the game. My mom wasn't able to be there, but she was watching it live stream. So it was pretty cool for them to see that.
Caleb, were you a home run hitter in high school? Was this your MO, or is this you just caught these two?
So in high school, I only hit one home run. My junior year in travel ball, I hit two or three. But
wow.
Ever since I've been at FAU, I've in the scrimmage and stuff, I've hit a couple. So I'm starting to develop that as a part of my game, which I feel like is a huge, huge extra for me.
Yeah. Let me go ahead.
I was going to say, is that a coaching thing? Is it like better instruction, or is it, you know, your body just filling out and being more aggressive? Like, how can you account for that?
For me, Coach Mams, our hitting coach, is really, really on like swinging aggressively, even with two strikes, not like swinging defensively, but aggressively, and then also just getting on a weight program and eating and doing lifting weights correctly, and that really helped me get stronger, and then just being a better hitter with Coach Mams helped me a lot.
I stepped on. Say the coach's name again.
Coach Mams.
Coach Mams, give him some props. That boy, yeah, Coach, nice. I wish I had a Coach Mams. I wouldn't have been a scrub. You know, it's crazy. I played 20 years ago, at this point a little bit more. And, you know, when I was coming up, it was, you know, and I said this, see the ball, hit it up the box. If you have a little power, if it's inside, obviously drop the hands, give it a ride, whatever. But try to go foul pole to foul pole with you know, doubles power. And when you catch one, you catch one. But the whole art of hitting has changed where, you know, and you just basically said it with Coach Mams philosophically. Yeah, I guess it, on some level, it's somewhat okay if you strike out because you're swinging, you know, for power. It's just changed from my generation to yours. What you guys are taught as young hitters is wildly different from what I was taught. It just seems like, I don't want to say the strikeout is more acceptable, but you're chasing power, and there's an understanding you got to strike out when you're chasing power, right?
Yes, for sure. We have a theory that a lot of guys like to change up their swing with two strikes and not swing as hard, but we have a theory that at FAU we want to hit home runs, we want to hit doubles, and so 50% of our bats are going to be with two strikes, so why not swing hard with two strikes?
I love it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Do you guys practice bunting?
We actually do practice bunting a lot.
Nice.
You listen, I don't know if you'll be called on to bunt if you guys get to the regionals, but I've seen a lot of regionals, and I watch the College World Series every year. I don't care if the score is 14-12. There's coming a point, Caleb, where somebody's got to square the hands and get down a good bunt to get somebody over. I mean, you know.
You know it's part of it.
You still better be able to do that. So what else did you play in high school? I mean, I would imagine you played something. What else did you play?
Sports-wise?
Yes.
Yeah,
I didn't play any other sports in high school. I played basketball when I was a little bit younger, and then I still would play pickup basketball and stuff. But really, I just focused on baseball. I played football a little bit my freshman year, but kind of stopped that and just wanted to focus on baseball because I knew that's where my life was taking me, was on the baseball field.
You know why I asked though? Talking to Caleb Pendleton from FAU, the Owls freshman catcher. Just do a little Twitter search and you'll see some sick stuff from Caleb. Two bombs as a freshman, two first at bats. You know, I ask because I actually just lost my train of thought as I was resetting you. So take it over and I'll pick it back up.
I was going to ask you, like, obviously this week has been exciting for you. I mean, you're doing a national radio show right now. What's FAU? Are there students, I'm sure? You know, how are you received? Are you walking around campus as the man right now? Because you're national television and radio at this point. You know, what's this week been like for you?
Yes, we got going into this weekend this past Friday. I never thought that this weekend would have been like this. So it's been pretty crazy. It's been really cool trying to keep my myself humble as well, because I know we have big games coming up. We got to keep going with the season because we're just at the beginning. But it's still pretty cool to have people support me. And I actually got an email from a kid in Indonesia the other day, which I thought was pretty cool. Nice. That it's all over the world.
That is insane.
Kind of a cool thought, but at the same time, trying to stay level-headed and just keep going with our season.
Now you sound like your parents raising you the right way. You certainly sound like you're straight and the head is on square. And if it's not, by the way, your teammates are upperclassmen. They'll let you know about it.
Yeah.
The reason why, Caleb, here's what I was going to ask you. The reason why I asked you before what other sports you played is because, again, not for me, but I'm a dinosaur compared to you at this point. But there was, I think it's changing now with Tatis and some of these other young players in Major League Baseball, Acuna. But there was a period where baseball wasn't looked at as cool or fast or the sport that athletes were gravitating to. And I'm curious what, and I completely disagree with that, but a lot of people believe that. What was so cool early? Why did you gravitate toward baseball? What did you initially love about the game?
For me, I'm a super competitive kid. I've always been. So the fact that baseball for me was kind of hard at the beginning, I kind of liked that because there was always room to improve. And so just the fact that it was hard and not a lot of people could do it, and I figured out that I could do it pretty well. So just that fact of being a very competitive sport was probably my favorite part about the sport.
Nice. Nice.
Oh, man. Well, Tiki always tells me he would have been a good baseball player. I don't know, Caleb. I don't know.
I couldn't hit that curveball. I would have swung and missed. Maybe I would have walked and stole around the bases. That's all I could do. I was fast. But, I mean, it was exciting to watch last weekend. Yeah. And obviously, you're now on the radar. We got to keep an eye on you and hope for continued success for you down there at FAU, Caleb. You know, thanks for hopping on with us. This was fun. And good luck to you for the rest of this season. Stay safe, most importantly.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Shout out to the FAU baseball program. Good program.
Yeah, man.
Remember when I was doing some games for CBS Sports Network college baseball?
Yeah, I did South Carolina ones.
Yep. I did a bunch of UCF games, and that's a good program. Yep. I mean, Central Florida. You know, they've got USF is a good team, good program. They just took two out of three from, I think it's the Knights. I think that's their nickname, UCF Knights.
I think.
They took two out of three from them, and they're ranked. So, you know, Florida Atlantic, you might not have the association, you know, like a Miami baseball or a Stanford or an LSU or
Florida was number one.
Florida.
Until they lost to Miami over the weekend.
Yep, that's a great rivalry. We know something. But Florida Atlantic's baseball history is terrific. That's actually their best. It's their highest profile sport. So good to have the young man on. He sounds like a terrific kid. And the crazy thing is, he hasn't even played every game. They've played four games, and he's only played two.
He's a freshman.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, my point is that they've got depth and they got talent, but I can't imagine what he's thinking. I can't imagine it. Yeah. That would be incredible. Two grand slams.
By the way, the final
same inning.
The final score. It's a good thing he hit those two grand slams, because the final score of this game was 20-15.
Oh boy.
Just saying.
You got to dial down those metal bats, NCAA. Yeah. I know you did that years ago. I think you got to dial. I got to dial here. Listen, since we're talking a little bit, we'll break here. But since on my little NCAA baseball tangent, dial down the bounce or the elasticity of the bats. Okay, have some brilliant physicists do that, because it's not representative of hitting with wood. Everybody knows that. And more importantly, you have to push the fences back where they play the World Series.
Yeah.
You have to do it. I think you have to do. They've got to do it at the Little League World Series, which I've been saying forever.
Oh, the Little League World Series is, I mean, it's so short.
These See, kids, they're these hitting kids, trees 100 feet behind the fence.
It's pop up. The ball gets in the air. It's, you feel like it's a home run.
Yes.
Yeah, there was that one kid, but he was a monster. That kid.
Oh, but which one? There's always monsters.
Well, I'm talking about that big kid that hit it into the tree.
Oh, into the tree. Yeah.
I mean, he was 11. I mean, I think he was legitimately the right age.
Well, you never know.
He crushed that.
I hope he is. I'm sure he is. But we've had issues. Remember Almonte, the kid from the Bronx years ago?
Danny Almonte,
the lefty. And then and the other thing, too, not just to keep the scores down, but the other thing that you miss, and then when you get to high school, this is, and obviously college and beyond, this is a part of the game. The fences are so short. When was the last time you saw in a Little League World Series a kid hit a triple or even a double?
Yeah, it's true.
Or a relay from the left center field warning track to the shortstop to the catcher, bang, bang, cutoff play. Yeah. There's no room.
No, you're right.
Come on, push the fence back. All right, that's my hope for the Little League and the NCAA as well. Push them back. All right, coming up next, After Axe Update, we'll get to the blast. And that's After Act. Comes at you right now. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Good show. A lot of Tiger Woods stuff in the first hour. I think you guys might want to check that out. Kind of a different different side of the conversation. About some of the demons, but just his place in the world. And you know, my take, not to speak for Tiki, my take was basically that, you know, we have to stop expecting stuff from Tiger Woods at this point. You know, our arms have been out, you know, gimme, you know, for 20-plus years, just waiting for him to bestow some magical swing of the golden wand to help captivate us for a little bit and just to inject some more amazing moments into our sporting memory. And we got to stop hoping for that. Not give up entirely, but we need to stop expecting that. Not stop hoping. We need to stop expecting that where, you know, it's not about the Masters, clearly this Masters, or maybe ever. You know, it's just he's been doing it so long. How much more can you ask from the guy?
Yeah, agreed.
Come on, you know. So we did that to start the show. You want to get it? Radio.com, Apple iTunes, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Instagram, Tiki and Tierney. Tiki, ready for the blast? See what we got today?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, new Falcons GM Terry Fontenot believes Atlanta's got a ton of options with the number 4 pick. They told The Athletic, or he did, told The Athletic, quote, there's so many different scenarios. There are going to be some really good players at number 4. It's a prime spot to be in, end quote. What should the Falcons look to do with the 4th overall pick?
I mean, I know there's many options. You know my stance on this, BT. I think they should try to trade Matt Ryan with a new head coach and offensive system, with Arthur Smith being the new guy there, and draft one of these really elite, potentially great quarterbacks that are sitting at the top of this draft, because how you hope, you know, this is the theory at least, consistently well-managed teams don't want to see themselves in that position again where they got to draft a quarterback at the top of the draft. So take advantage of it now when you know you have a really good quarterback draft.
Yeah, I could see why a lot of people would subscribe to that. You know, if you handle your business well, you won't be in the 4th pick for a while.
That's right.
So the chances to get that, you know, franchise-changing quarterback severely dissipates. I would trade out. I would trade out at this point. I think that they are still a ways away from being a Super Bowl team.
No doubt about that.
You know, and I think that even a step or two before this, I just don't view them in that light. I think they've got a lot of holes there. So if you trade out of the 4 spot and you entice somebody to move up to get that quarterback, probably Justin Fields, I would think will go after Zach Wilson, I think. That can really bring you so much equity, and Matt Ryan is not 38. I mean, Matt Ryan still has a couple of good years. Yes, you do need to begin to devise a plan so you're not like the Steelers right now with nothing behind Big Ben. But if I had the 4th pick, I would trade. And by the way, we had Arthur Blank on the show about a month or so ago, and you can find that on our YouTube page. And we asked about this directly, and he basically said, you know, listen, the reality is we're going to have to move on at some point. Then he said it wouldn't be his call, though they would run it by him.
Yeah.
Basically saying not shutting the door on possibly trading Matt Ryan is the point. So we'll see. All right, deep number two. Last week, J.J. Watt tweeted that it takes him an hour to decide what to order on DoorDash and that it's going to take him a while to decide what team to sign with. Now, yesterday, Watt tweeted, mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, leading Bills fans to get excited because there's a research center in Buffalo for just that, and we know how charitable the Bills fans are. Tweet aside, do the Bills make sense for Watt? Yeah, I think the Bills make some sense for what I said that when he was first released by the Texans. I think there's a couple of first of all, any team on the precipice of a championship would be, I think, a very suitable landing spot for a player who doesn't have to be a star but can still deliver star moments and spurts. They got to figure out their linebacking spot.
Yeah,
that's one thing they got to really, really, really figure out. Cornerbacks are set. Tre'Davious White's a beast. Offense is really good. They got to find out that middle spot of the defense. But if J.J. Watt was down to play in Buffalo, he'd absolutely help him.
Yeah, and BT, this team was middle of the pack in defense. Even though they were good defense, they were middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. And really below the middle when you talk about sack percentage on opposing teams' dropbacks. I mean, their leading sacker last year was Jerry Hughes. He's 32 years old.
Yeah.
Now, J.J. Watt's not going to come in and all of a sudden... Actually, it was Mario Addison.
I thought it was Hughes.
It was Hughes at 4.5 and Addison at 5. But they're 32 and 33, respectively. And so they haven't had a ton of pressure here from the defensive front. And I think... J.J. Watt, if he can return to form, gives you some more oomph there.
Yeah.
It's a big if, though, if he can return to form.
He gives you a little pop. Where did you say they rank defensively?
14, 15-ish.
Okay.
But sack percentage-wise, number of dropbacks that a quarterback has sacked, they were 18th.
Okay, that's not good. And I'll give you a little context of the 14th, 15th ranking defensively in total. I even think that that's misleading because they play the Jets, who were just utterly deficient twice.
Yeah.
They play the Dolphins. I mean, they played the Patriots twice.
Yeah.
Who had no offense. I mean, they played, I mean, that's 25% of the schedule right there against teams that really couldn't score if you spotted them half the football field. That's got to be weighed into where they stand statistically.
Yeah, they have impact offensive players. We know that for sure. They need some on the defensive side.
Boom. All right, we got some terms for Sark's contract with Texas. They've been revealed, and Sark will earn about $34 million over 6 years.
Wow.
An average of over $5 million, which will put him right around 15th in coaching salary. So, are we surprised by these numbers, Teague? Remember, they've been paying off some other coaches.
Yeah, not really. It's Texas. They have unlimited funds and resources, so... again, it's not like he's jumping into this Texas job making $7 or $8 million, which would have put him in the top 5 or 6 or so.
Yep.
He's middle of the road for an elite program, and I think the
once
idea,
elite program.
Well, that's what I mean. Historically elite program. So I think it's fair, and I think it's right, and especially if he gets early results, it'll justify this, and I think it will simply by the new offensive system that he's going to install and the recruiting, as we're already seeing this pay off a little bit with that big recruit, top three
quarterback, five star.
Yep. So from California, no less, which is great. So he's spreading his wings. I think it's worth it for sure, and I think it'll pay off pretty quickly.
Yep. The question is, are we surprised at the numbers? I'm actually surprised it's that low.
Interesting.
You know, only because Texas always comes with the biggest check.
True, but he hasn't, like,
I understand.
Been a while.
I get it. Here's my prediction, Teague. Sark is going to slay it. Huh. He's going to crush it. And within 2 years, that contract will be ripped up, and he will be nestled very comfortably inside the top 10. He will not be residing there for very long.
Yeah, if he brings anything like the offense they had in Bama, that'll happen because kids are going to want to start going there again.
That's right. The Hawks aren't playing too well. They're 13-18 after they lost to the Cavaliers, a last-second loss to Cleveland last night. Remember, they signed Rondo, Bogdanovich, Danilo Gallinari this offseason. Has Atlanta been a disappointment thus far? Absolutely. And you know what? I think you need to start looking a little bit at the coach, who we've had on the show a few times, and we like. But there's too much talent there. I'm not saying that they should be a top three seed.
Yeah.
But to be, you know, 5 games below the break-even point, and they've had some woeful performances, something is askew. And I got to say the coach is not getting the job. I'm not saying fire him.
Yeah.
But I am saying the coach is not getting the job done.
I mean, they have some good players, and it's hard not to look that way. BT, Trae Young has been he's obviously phenomenal. Clint Capella in the role that he's been playing, he's been phenomenal.
John Collins.
Collins, but they're messing with his head a little bit because they're talking about trading him. So yep. He's had a little bit of a step back the last couple of games. DeAndre Hunter, my guy from UVA, he's been hurt. Yep, he's only played in 18 of their 31 games, so he's been hurt this year. So there's some explanation, but I think it's really underachievement. Because individually, some of these players are playing good basketball. Collectively, they're not.
All right, last night, here comes Sparty. Michigan State took down number 5, Illinois. So the Illini lost 81-72. It was in East Lansing at the Izone. It's been a roller coaster season for the Spartans, 12-9. Most brackets don't even have them on the bubble right now.
Yeah.
So there's like first four in, first four out, next four, they're not even on the bubble. But that could change if they beat number 4 Ohio State tomorrow night. Would that change our view in terms of their chances to make the tournament?
Yeah, I think it would, BT, because it also positions them well going into the Big Ten championship. This is must win. I mean, obviously it is, because at this point in the season, if you have bad losses, even if it is against a top 5 team,
you
the narrative starts to get written about you. Even if it's not what you thought it was going to be. And the last thing that Tom Izzo and Michigan, the Spartans want to rely upon is winning the Big Ten championship, because the Big Ten has some hellified teams, man. Michigan's 3, Ohio State's 4, Illinois is 5, Iowa is 9. Like, there's a bunch of good teams in the
yes,
Big Ten.
Are.
So getting to the tournament through their conference tournament is not, the easiest route.
I don't even think you mentioned Iowa, who's got the player of the year
in
college
they're
basketball.
Nine. Yeah, they're ninth.
Right? You didn't mention Wisconsin's pretty good.
That's right.
I'm just trying to get a sense of these net. My answer is yes, by the way. If they beat Ohio State, they're now on the bubble and in a position to do some damage. I want the net rankings right. Michigan has number 3 net ranking. Wow. Michigan's number 3. Illinois's number 4. Iowa's number 5. Ohio State's number 7. They've got 4 of the top 7 net rankings, which is all the metrics mixed in a blender, blah, blah, blah. Wisconsin's number 20. Purdue's 27. Maryland's pretty good. Rutgers is pretty good, too. You're right. The Big Ten is great this year. I mean, I know it's great.
Yeah.
Indiana's competitive. I'm not a big fan of Minnesota. Patino has not gotten the job done there. The net ranking for Michigan State is 81. That's a big problem. 81 is... 81's no man's land.
Yeah.
If they win, I think that they could probably jump 20 slots to 60-ish, but then they still have to keep jumping because 60-ish is not necessarily in the tournament.
Yeah, they're going to need an upset in the Big Ten tournament.
Yep.
Time's up.
Your time is up.
The blast is over for another day.
Good show, Teak.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ACC and the current AP poll, which is Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois, the top. Alabama's sitting up there, too, at number 6. There's only like 3 ACC teams in the top 25 right now, BT.
Forget about it. You're talking about the net rankings or
no,
just
I'm
the
just
rankings?
No, I'm talking about just the rankings.
Rankings stink. Who cares about them? Here's what matters in the net rankings. Virginia is number 9, Florida State number 12, Carolina 33, Pastos is Georgia Tech is 49, Clemson 39, Louisville is 53, Duke 47, Virginia Tech good as well. We'll see you tomorrow. Safe sense of the Saint. Have a great night.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number 1 sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team?
Just 2 people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.